Welcome to this episode of the Do They Own Me podcast. I'm your host, Benny McBenface, and today we are doing another dive, a deep dive into the murky world of data brokers, this time from the angle, from the perspective of looking at who the hell owns this data, where does it go, what happens to these massive tranches and literal warehouses full of personal data, what happens to those bunches of personal data when a data broker goes out of business, when they go bankrupt. In many ways, that data, and so the data brokers will say, that data is their asset. It's their only asset. So what happens in bankruptcy proceedings to their assets? Typically, if you own, if you own a restaurant and you go bankrupt, you close the door, it gets locked up, and any of the assets get sold off at auction for the highest bidder to do what they like with. Somebody wants the chairs, they offer $50, they get all the chairs and they're gone. Somebody wants the grill, they pay the money and it's gone. Well, this is a bit of a problem when it comes to massive loads of private personal data of every person on the planet. The article is on arstechnica.com. It's entitled, How Your Sensitive Data Can Be Sold After a Data Broker Goes Bankrupt. Sensitive location data could be sold off to the highest bidder. Look, right here is an interesting one. Location data. I've been concerned about this for some time, and I've been talking about this for some time. The misnomer, the wrong impression that most people have about what happens online in the advertising space is that who cares? It's all anonymous anyway. So the person who hasn't thought about this and hasn't understood this, they would look at it and they would say this: who cares if advertisers know that I'm interested in whatever, abortion rights, and who cares if advertisers know that I'm interested in African-American men's issues? All of these are interest categories that are available to advertisers. So when you load a web page or when you load an app on your phone and that app has ads built into it, obviously the creator of that app wants to make money from you. They're either going to do that by charging you a fee to use that app. Maybe it's a subscription fee, or maybe it's a one-off fee to acquire the app. You pay $50 or $10 or whatever it is. Or if they're not charging you for it, what they're doing is they're earning money from advertisers who want to show an ad to you inside that app. Now, you look at this so far and you say, okay, that's fair enough. That's a defensible business model. Everybody's in business to make money. You wouldn't have the app unless somebody was paying the app creator. So people sort of look at this and they say, okay, there's no problem. So here's what happens. You load up the app, and the minute that you load it up, the second that you load it up, what it does is it sends off a flag, a message to the ad network that the app creator has connected it to. It says, listen, here is a user. They're using an iPhone. They're located in this city. These are some of their interest groups. Who wants to bid on showing an ad to this person? And then all of this happens electronically, immediately, literally in fractions of a second. This request goes out and bids are received. Maybe there's a car insurance company that says, actually, that person fits the profile of someone that we want to advertise to, so we'll pay whatever, 3.5 cents to run an ad. Someone else bids 3.6 cents, someone bids 3.7, someone bids 2. It's always the highest bidder that gets that ad show. Now, so far, so good. There are no problems in this equation. But I'll tell you what is the problem. There is no means of controlling, effectively controlling, who gets that data, where that information goes. So if you sign up as an advertiser, what's called, in the advertising world, it's called a demand-side platform, a DSP. You're saying to the ad networks, listen, we've got all of these advertisers. They would love to bid on the ad opportunities that you have. And I think in the US, there's something like 3 billion per second, if I'm not mistaken, or 3 billion per hour. It's literal billions every day of ad opportunities that are bid on through these platforms. So what happens is, if you're on the bidder side, on the advertiser side, you go to this ad exchange, you go to that ad exchange, and you say, listen, give us the fire hose of bid opportunity, and we'll start bidding on it. And the ad exchange says, sure, here, let's send you all of the opportunities we have. You can connect up to this, and if there's something in here that algorithmically matches your client's, wishes of who you want to target, you're all good. Now, here's the problem. As that fire hose of data is going to that platform, nobody knows what they're doing with it. Are they retaining it? Could they be retaining it? Absolutely, they could be retaining it. Are they? There are question marks. It is a hell of a logistical challenge to keep that data and keep it sorted. But nonetheless, some companies have done this. Here is the million-dollar problem. Inside every single one of those bid requests, when someone opens their app to check whatever they're checking on the app, inside every single one of those is the location of the device with satellite coordinates, GPS coordinates, and the unique ID of that device. So every device, every Google phone and every Apple phone, so every Android phone and every Apple phone has a unique device ID. That never changes unless the person happens to be the 1 in 10 million people that knows that you can actually write to Apple or Google or whoever and say, listen, change my ID out. I don't want to keep using the same ID. Never changes unless you make that request. So if you haven't made the request, now you've got the unique device ID tied to a stream, a literal stream of location data. Anyone with any type of nefarious intent can start looking at that data set and they can say, well, we know that this person stays at this address from 6 p.m. till 6 a.m. and they do it every single time, every single day, day in, day out. You can pretty safely and easily and comfortably deduce from that that that's their home address, right? Nighttime habitual location of a device is a pretty fair proxy for home address. So then if you have their home address and you have a little bit of other information on them, again, completely and totally collected from these bid requests, you can very quickly put together a freakishly accurate picture of someone's life, where they live, where they go to this store, they go to this workplace they work at. Let's take a horrible example. Let's say they work in the judicial system. Let's say they are a judge, for example. Do you really want that type of information available for anyone to bid on, for anyone to see, just if they say they want to bid on it? You don't want their entire life. Anyway, this has been a problem for a long time. There's been plenty of talk. Everybody says, oh, this is bad, and it gets a bit of attention every now and then, but it still hasn't changed. It's still a fact. Now, with that little tangent to one side, let's jump into the article. It kicks off, in 2021, a company specializing in collecting and selling location data called NIR bragged that it was the world's largest data set of people's behavior in the real world, with data representing 1.6 billion people across 44 countries. Last year, the company went public with a valuation of $1 billion. 7 months later, it filed for bankruptcy and has agreed to sell the company. It continues, but for the 1.6 billion people that NIR said its data represents, the important question is, what happens to NIR's mountain of location data? Any company could gain access to it through purchasing the company's assets. And it continues, the prospect of this data, including NIR's collection of location data from sensitive locations such as abortion clinics, being sold off in bankruptcy has raised alarms in Congress. Last week, Senator Ron Wyden, Democratic from Oregon, wrote to the Federal Trade Commission urging the agency to protect consumers and investors from the outrageous conduct of NIR, citing his office's investigation into the India-based company. Well, he's exactly right. Senator Ron Wyden is exactly right. The fact that this is being traded as an asset is, it's a perfect function of capitalism is what it is. But sometimes we don't want the perfect function of capitalism because it's a bullshit society to live in. So I say this location data shouldn't have been collected, shouldn't have been warehoused, because remember, anyone that gets that data, and who knows how big the data set is, does it cover 10 years of people's behavior? Who knows? But let's say you get your hands on that data. You can accurately pinpoint a person and their entire movements for the last 10 years. Why is this normal? How is this a normal situation to be in? It's a bullshit situation to be in. So, good. Thank you, Senator Wyden. This is a problem, and I'm glad that he's taking the issue up. The article continues, Wyden's letter also urged the FTC to intervene in NIR's bankruptcy proceedings to ensure that all location and device data held by NIR about Americans is promptly destroyed and is not sold off, including to another data broker. Well, here's the problem. How could you possibly do that? It would have to be some sort of special act of Congress or something. You'd have to change laws on bankruptcy proceedings. I don't know how you can do that, because effectively what you're saying is bankruptcy proceedings and bankruptcy laws don't apply in this situation. Here's another set of laws. Again, I don't care how we get to the end of this horrible dystopian nightmare. I just care that we do get to the end. So, you know, having these types of things come out in public is a good thing. It can only help us to reach the end and bring about the end. I just don't see how they're going to do it. The article continues, the FTC took such an action in 2010. Okay, so they've done this previously, to block the use of 11 years' worth of subscriber personal data during the bankruptcy proceedings of the XY magazine, which was oriented to young gay men. Yeah, I mean, there you go. There's an example of, in that time period, information that was sensitive and people didn't want their data out there and so on and so forth. So the FTC has form. The agency requested that the data be destroyed to prevent its misuse. All right, but hold on. Requested? That's all they can do? I don't like that. Why would any capitalistic enterprise act on a mere request that goes completely counter to their own interests? I don't see it, especially when they've got nothing to lose. They're literally in bankruptcy. Why would they delete it? You'd sell it off for whatever you can get. Article continues, Wyden's investigation was spurred by a May 2023 Wall Street Journal report that NIR had licensed location data to the anti-abortion group Veritas Society. This is insane. This is what I'm talking about. This is pattern of life data on hundreds of millions of Americans by the looks of it. The vast majority of Americans are included in this. You can get someone's home address very easily. You then got their unique device identifier. Anywhere else they pop up, whether it's, you know, they're reading this website about this thing, because also one of the things that's included in these RTBs, what I described earlier, the real-time bids, one thing that's included in those is what is the exact website or app that this person is using at the time of making this real-time bid request. So if they're on, you know, some type of website that would bring about reputational harm to that person if that ever got out, I mean, this is a veritable treasure trove of data for anyone with anything even bordering malicious intent. The article continues, Wyden's investigation revealed that the group's geofencing campaign focused on 600 Planned Parenthood clinics in 48 states. The journal also revealed that NIR had been selling its location data to the Department of Defense and intelligence agencies. Again, I've commented on this at least a dozen times on this podcast in the past. There is no longer any need. The idea that law enforcement in the United States would be, you know, would be bothered to go and get a warrant for information about a person's electronic activities is a laughable. It's a joke of an idea because they don't need to. Most people are spewing this stuff out involuntarily on a day-to-day basis without even knowing. All the DOD or the intelligence agencies or law enforcement agencies have to do is they just got to go to the company that's got this data and say, hey, can you give us this person's complete life story for the last 7 years? The company replies and says, yes, no problems. That'll be whatever. They can literally name their price. It's government money, meaning taxpayers' money, by the way. But, you know, they could say, yes, no problem. It's $50,000 or $8,000, whatever. They can name the price because they're going to get it, because the other option is these agencies have to follow the law, and that's too much of a pain in the butt for them because they've got to have probable cause. They're not going to get a warrant just because they feel like going on a fishing expedition. It's absolutely outrageous. The article continues, as of publication, NIR has not responded to requests for comment. According to NIR's privacy policy, oh, this will be a good one. They have a privacy policy, do they? According to NIR's privacy policy, all of the data they've collected can be transferred to the new owners under the heading of Who Do You Share My Personal Data With? It lists prospective buyers of our business. Well, that's exactly right. And at least they're transparent and open about it. Oftentimes that potential to transfer that data isn't so explicitly stated and isn't so clear. Oftentimes it's just, you know, it'll be a sort of all-encompassing term that says something like, we'll share it with anybody we need to in the normal course of running our business, or something like that. And it doesn't really prohibit them from doing anything at all. It goes on, this type of clause is common in privacy policies and is a regular part of businesses being bought and sold. Where it gets complicated is when the company being sold owns data containing sensitive information. This week, a new bankruptcy court filing showed that Wyden's requests were granted. All right, this is interesting. So bankruptcy courts are looking at this stuff and maybe acting in a different way. Let's continue. The order placed restrictions on the use, sale, licensing, or transfer of location data collected from sensitive locations in the U.S. All right. So, look, we've got a tiny step there, sensitive locations. I don't know what that includes, but I'm going to assume it's all of the things that you can imagine. It's the abortion clinics, it's the, you know, whatever, medical centers, all of that type of stuff. So I'm glad that the bankruptcy court is doing something here, but obviously it's not going far enough, nowhere near going far enough. So it continues, and requires any company that purchases the data to establish a sensitive location data program with detailed policies for such data and ensure ongoing monitoring and compliance, including a creation of a list of sensitive... Okay, so here it does. It lists them here. Creation of a list of sensitive locations such as reproductive healthcare facilities, doctor's offices, houses of worship, mental health care providers, corrections facilities, and shelters, among others. Yeah, see, all of those things, that's fair enough. I don't think any person that attends any of those places, either once or on a regular basis, why do you want that information in the hands of private data brokers that will use it in any way they can to make a buck? Why do you want it's bullshit that that can even happen to begin with. I'm glad that there is being some curtailment of that type of outrageous conduct, but it doesn't go anywhere near far enough. It continues, the order demands that unless consumers have explicitly provided consent, the company must cease any collection, use, or transfer of location data. Well, listen, here's the problem. Explicitly provided consent. Any of these companies that collect this stuff, they do have consent from the users. Of course they have consent. They're not stupid. Unfortunately, the consent from the users is never what I call informed consent. The person's got no idea what they've agreed to, nor has the person that consented to this information sharing, nor have they taken the time to sit down and think about the possible ramifications of where is this being shared, who is it being shared with, and hold on a minute, what does this actually extend to? It's as simple as the app creator saying, we will use your location data and your interests and hobbies and whatever to choose advertising that is relevant to you. People look at that and they say, oh yeah, that's okay. No reasonable person in their right mind, if the disclaimer instead said, this information, your location, your interest, and your pattern of life will be forever available to anyone that wants to buy it. If that was the disclaimer, nobody would ever, ever, ever give that consent. So, you know, sure, the court order demands that the consumers have to have explicitly provided consent, but let's talk about consent. Consent is a load of bullshit. It doesn't happen. Anyway, the article concludes in a statement emailed to the markup. Wyden wrote, I commend the FTC for stepping in at my request to ensure that this data broker stockpile of American sensitive location data isn't abused again. Well, yes, he's right, but as far as I'm concerned, the FTC's done very little here. They're requesting. This stuff is so wide open for abuse is all I'm saying. I'm glad that the agencies and the regulators are doing something, but it's nowhere near enough. They've got to go much, much further than they've done. Wyden called for protecting sensitive location data from data brokers, citing the new legal threats to women since the Supreme Court's June 2022 decision to overturn Roe v. Wade. And then it continues with a quote from Wyden, the threat posed by the sale of location data is clear, particularly to women who are seeking reproductive care. The bankruptcy order also provided a rare glimpse into how data brokers license data to one another. NIR's list of contracts included agreements with several location brokers, ad platforms, universities, retailers, and city governments. Well, that's interesting. City governments are piling in on the action. Why do city governments need this information? I can only assume it's not to better serve their community. That's what I'm going to assume. Is it to, I don't know, crack down on excessive occupancy? Is it to find illegal Airbnbs? Who knows? I don't like it. I don't like any of it. But, like I said, I am glad that the agencies and the regulators are doing something. I'm just a little bit displeased that, A, it's taken this long, and B, it doesn't go anywhere near far enough. That's the episode for today. I'll catch you on the next one.